Let's go to prayer. Lord Father, we just thank you for this time. We just lift up these needs to you. We pray for Paula Perry and just pray for healing for her and that she would get in and the doctors would be able to do the things they do and that you would be able to heal through them. Lord Father, we lift up Robin to you as he goes in for surgery for his ear. This has been a long time struggle here to get this done and just pray for good health between now and then so this surgery can be taken care of. And we lift up Cindy, Kathy's daughter, and just pray for a job for her out there, one that would fit her needs. And just, it's been a struggle. She's been sending out resumes left and right, and we just pray for success in that area, Lord. I'm going to start off with a short reading today, Chronicles 2:14 through 22. I'll start with verse 14. And my people who called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I'm sure most of you are very familiar with that verse, and rightly so. It's a great verse from the Lord. And we really do have turmoil in our land right now and we need healing. So just be in prayer for that. But the Lord continues to speak after that too. Verses 15 through 18. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house so that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there always. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, to do according to everything that I have commanded you, and keep my statutes and my ordinance, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man to be a ruler in Israel. Little backstory on Chronicles, the first seven chapters, talking about Solomon building the temple and just everything that was involved in that. Get a chance, good reading there. It's just amazing how God provided through that time. But however, there is a but, as so often there is, and it is a little harder to hear. Verses 19 through 21, through 22, I'm sorry. But if you turn away and abandon my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and you go and serve other gods and worship them, then I'll uproot you from my land, which I have given you, and this house, which I have consecrated for my name. I shall cast out my sight, and I will make it a proverb. That's a proverb you don't want to be. And an object of scorn among all peoples. As for this house, which was exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done these things to this land and to this house? And they will say, because they abandoned the Lord, the God and their fathers who brought them from this land, from the land of Egypt, and they adopted other gods and worshipped and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this adversity on them. We need to be in prayer. The positive part, great. The negative part, impetus. We need to be in prayer. Pastor Ed? Oh, you don't want me singing. Yes, I guess we should sing first. Thank you, Michelle.
How are we doing this morning? That's great to hear. I'm really excited because this morning we get to do a four-week series in the book of Jonah. And so if you take your bulletin, you'll see a few notes on the back of that that you can follow along with. But the message of the book of Jonah is really twofold. It's about living the mercy of God and also about living the mission of God. Now, I think both of those things are things that the church needs today. We need to understand the mercy of God on the one hand and be able to understand the mission that God has given to us as a church, as individuals today. And that's going to be something that's going to be extremely difficult for Jonah to be able to preach about and to fulfill. Now, the central theme of this book is mercy. It's extending God's mercy to all mankind. Again, that's going to be something that Jonah's going to find extremely difficult to carry out as far as God is concerned. Now, the name Jonah means dove. But if you were to do a personality profile of Jonah throughout the book, I think he should have called his name Hawk. He was more of a hawk than he really was of a dove. He was an ardent nationalist. He was an isolationist. He felt that God's mercy only extended to the Jewish people and that Israel was God's special realm. And anybody outside of that did not belong in the mercy of God. Certainly there shouldn't be any mission to them. So this meant this morning that he was going to have an extremely difficult time when God went to call him. Because he neither lived the mercy of God on the one hand, nor did he ever really live the mission of God, at least on this second call. He didn't understand God's mercy. And he didn't want to obey God's mission that came to him. You'll also see the outline of the book so you know where we're going over the next 4 weeks. First of all, running away from God, that's chapter 1. Running back to God, that's chapter 2. Running with God, chapter 3. And running ahead of God in chapter 4. Running away from God, running back to God, running with God, and then running away from God. Now, have we all run away from God at one time or another? We've tried running away from God, really probably didn't get very far. But we've all tried to run away from God. Now, we've all run back to God in a time of need and in a time of crisis. We wanted God to be able to meet us and take care of that need and that crisis. We also remember those times when we ran exactly with God. At that particular moment, we were right in step with God, doing exactly what God wanted us to do. And how many of us have ever run ahead of God, trying to tell God what we wanted him to do in our situation, in our lives, in our family's life? So we were trying to direct God and telling him, this is what we want you to do, running ahead of God. So we're going to begin looking at this book this morning. We're going to be looking at the message of the mission and the mercy of God, and the whole concept of the theme of the book, the mercy of God. If you were to write one word over the book of Jonah, it would be the word mercy. It's a book about mercy. We're going to see it over and over again as we explore the book. Let's pray. Father, we're excited once again to sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit as he guides us into the Word of God. Jesus, you are the Logos, you are the Word. And when we see this book of Jonah, we're going to see you all the way through it. And the Spirit's going to direct us about your mercy. He's going to direct us about your mission. But above everything else, Lord, we're going to understand your mercy is not just to the select group of people we might think, but your mercy extends to all mankind. So, Lord, as we open up this book, it's not important what I say. But it's extremely important what you say and what you have to say to us this morning to bring us to yourself, to bring us into mercy, and to bring us into your mission. So, Lord, we ask that you be the teacher today through your word and through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first study we're going to look at this morning is running away from God. Turn with me to Jonah chapter 1. And we want to begin with verse 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, now. Now, I don't know how your translation starts, but this is not a word you can skip over. Because when it comes to the mercy of God and the mission of God, we don't have the past. It's done. We don't have the future. It's not here yet. The only moment that we can lay claim to is right now in the present. So I want you to get this picture in your mind. When God says, hey, right now, Jonah, at this moment, at this hour, we've got something for you. And this is what he says. Now, at this moment, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now, this wasn't a gospel message. This wasn't even a passage of scripture. The word that came to Jonah was a word of mission. And we're going to see that in just a moment. But now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, first of all, arise. You're sitting down. You're in your house. I want you to get up, and I want you to go. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So here's the mercy of God, extending mercy to the enemies of Israel. And here's the mission of God. I want you to go because their sin has come up before me. I want you to go and declare me to the people of Nineveh. Now I want you to focus for a minute on the people you find hard to love. You got anybody in mind? Who are the people you find hard to love? Who are those people? What types of people are they? What groups of people are they? The people that you're the most critical of, the ones that you're the most judgmental of. Now, those people are people that we need to take a look at. Maybe they become enemies because of what they believe, or what they do, or what they say. Now, if these people or these groups of people declare themselves to be the enemy of God, that they're anti-God, that they don't want to do anything with God, then we feel the more justified in being able to judge them and writing them off. And this is where Jonah was. You see in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So far, so good. Now, did you know that Jonah had a previous assignment? And that previous assignment that he had from God, he was all in on what God told him to do. Because, again, he was a prophet that really wanted to see Israel expanded. Let's go back and look at that first mission. Let's go back to 2 Kings, the 14th chapter. 2 Kings chapter 14, and let's look at verse 25. 2 Kings 14, 25. It says, and he's talking about Jeroboam the second, and he restored the territory, the border, the boundary of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of Arabah, which is the Dead Sea. Now notice this next phrase. He did that according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah. And just to make sure this is the same Jonah, he says, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepner. So Jonah had prophesied that Jeroboam II was going to be able to expand the borders of Israel. That's exactly what this isolationist, this nationalist wanted God to do. As long as God was doing what he wanted to do, he was all in favor of that mission. But notice verse 2, the second mission, the second assignment. God told Jonah he had to go to Nineveh, that the sin of Nineveh had come up before him, and he wanted him to cry out to the city. I can hear Jonah now. Nineveh? God, did I hear you right? Did you say Nineveh? The capital city of the Assyrians, our arch enemies? You want me to go there? Now, a contest of wills starts between God and Jonah. Guess who's going to lose that one? You see, Jonah thought that God was the exclusive God of the Israelites. Exclusively belonging to God. The mercy of God doesn't belong to them. The mission of God doesn't belong to them. So Jonah would readily agree with God that Nineveh was a sinful city. But to go preach to them, he didn't want to do it. And if you look at verse 2, notice what he did. He arose to go, but in the wrong direction. Going to take a look at that in a minute. See, Jonah thought that somehow if he could just get away from God, he could get away from his mercy, that he could get away from his mission. But I think there's a deeper reason here. If you read between the lines here in verse 2, this is why I think Jonah stiffened his back towards God's call. Well, God, what if I go there and they repent? You'd have to have mercy towards my enemies. And that's the last thing I want you to do, is to have mercy towards my enemy. And I think that's the core, really, of Jonah's resistance to God. The last thing he wanted to be was God's agent to bring salvation to the people of Nineveh. See, I think Jonah was a prophet of the pocket veto. So here comes the call. Here comes the mission. God, you can bring me the call. You can bring me the mission. But when it comes to my desk, I'm going to veto it. I'm not going to obey it. I'm not going to do it. He was a strong-willed man. He was in a struggle with God as to who was going to have the authority here. He was a faithful prophet as long as God was asking him to do what he wanted. But when God asked him to do something he didn't want, he wasn't going to do what he was told. Now, here's some questions for us this morning. What are you struggling with God right now? What is God asking you to do that you don't want to do? What instructions from God panics you? God, anything but that. Don't ask me to do that. The issue is Tarsus or Nineveh. Rebellion or response. See, Tarsus is rebellion. Nineveh is response. So in verse 3, but Jonah, he arose, all right, but he arose to flee to Tarsus. Notice this, from the presence of the Lord. Not only was he running from the mercy of God and the mission of God, he was running from God himself. Now notice this downward progression here. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarsus, so he paid the fare and went down, so down to Joppa, down into the ship, to go with them to Tarsus, again, from the presence of the Lord. See, when he stepped out of his house, there in Beth Hefner, which was about 3 miles north of Nazareth, he had a choice to make. See, if he turned one way to his left, it was 500 miles over to Nineveh. Now, if he turned to his right, it was a pretty short distance to Joppa on the seacoast of the Mediterranean where he could catch a boat to Tarsus. Now, let's stop here a minute because I want to suggest something to you. Satan is going to make it a lot harder and longer to go to Nineveh than he is to Joppa. A lot easier to go against God, a lot harder to go with God. I used to like to tell my young people when I was a youth pastor, it's like you're in a canoe and you're going downstream and everything's going good. And when you come to accept Jesus Christ, it's like you're going upstream. Don't let people tell you it gets easier when you become a Christian. It gets tougher. It gets harder. You're going upstream against the current. So now I want to suggest to you that when he turned one way, he made the choice to go right, away from God, away from his mercy, away from his mission. Nineveh or Tarsus? Obedience or escape? See, Nineveh was the epitome of everything that Jonah did not like about his enemies. He didn't like their theology. He didn't like their sin, their idolatry, all of their wickedness. And to go preach them was absolutely abhorrent to him. Now, Tarsus represented to Jonah a place where he could escape from God, a place where he could hide from God. Now, from Joppa, he was going to catch a ship to Tarsus. Anybody know where Tarsus is? Tarsus was in Spain. It would take him almost a year to get there by ship. Now, most of us have our own Ninevehs. We have our own Tarsuses. I don't know if Tarsus is a word or not. One is a place of obedience and faithfulness. The other is a place of rebellion and escape. Now, let me expand Nineveh a little bit for us. Nineveh is the clear revelation of the will of God. Let me say that again. Nineveh is the clear revelation of the will of God. Let me show you where Nineveh is today. There's Nineveh. It's the clear, revealed will of God. If you're obeying this, you're in Nineveh, or heading to Nineveh. If you're disobeying it, you're heading to Tarsus, away from God. So this is Nineveh today. So if anybody says, where's Nineveh today? Right here in the Word of God. Let me, see, you know, God may be asking you to do something you don't want to do. He may be asking you to change your behavior according to the Word of God. You got to have a choice to make. Let me tell you another Nineveh. Nineveh is putting God first in your heart. When you put God first in your heart, you're heading to Nineveh. When you don't put God first in your heart, you're headed to Tarsus in the wrong direction. So, the two things. You got them? Nineveh is the revealed will of God and His Word. It is also putting God first in our hearts. Now, here's the question. Where are you at this morning? Are you running from God? Are you running in the right direction? Are you putting God first in your heart today? See, life has its special times on the Joppa Wharf. And remember we said, and now? We got to go take a look. We're on the Joppa Wharf right now. Every moment, any moment in our life. And we have a choice whether we're going to continue moving away from God or we're going to turn around and move towards God. Now let's look at the choice Jonah made. Let's pick up at verse 4. We've got to finish the rest of the story. We've got to move through this chapter here. Now, we saw, but Jonah. Look at verse 4. But the Lord. It says, but God sent out. That word means He hurled. He just took and threw that storm upon the sea. He just hurled it at the sea. And there was a mighty tempest of the sea, so the ship was about to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. Everybody but one. Everybody was crying out to God, but not Jonah. Everybody was throwing cargo over the ship, but not Jonah. Where was Jonah? But Jonah, there it is again. But Jonah had gone down, there it is the third time, down to Joppa, down to the ship. Now he's in the lowest possible place in the ship. And what was he doing? He lay down and was fast asleep. Oblivious to the storm going on. Now notice that. So the captain, I love this. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? What are you doing here sleeping? Arise, get up. God told him to do the same thing. He said, arise, call upon your God. Why? Because our God isn't working right now. Maybe your God can do something. Our God isn't answering us. And so he said, but Jonah had gone down, so the captain said, arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. You're going to see later on why they thought that. Look at verse 7. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Of course it did. Can you see that God is even in control of the lottery here? Of the drawing of the straws? Can you imagine if God wasn't in control and went to the wrong man and they threw the wrong man overboard? No, God said, it's going to fall on Jonah. Then they said to him, now look at these, all these questions. Tell us, for whose cause is this trouble among us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? Man, they had all kinds of questions for him. So he said to them, notice this. I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. This is the word Yahweh. Now notice this, the God of heavens, the one who made the sea and the land. Oh boy, their ears are perked up now. He made the sea that we're in right now, and he made the land that we're heading for. Then the men were exceeding afraid. Now notice this. Why have you done this? Hey, there's the question. Why have you rebelled against your God? Because notice this, for the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. When he got on the ship, he told them, I'm running from God. They're praying to their God, throwing everything over sea. This man's not even praying to the God, and he said, because I'm running from my God. The God that made the heavens, the God who made the sea, the God who made the land, you're running from him? Then they said to him, verse 11, what shall we do? That the sea may be calm for us. For the sea was growing even more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up. It's the same word, throw me. Just like God had thrown the storm, throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. What did the men do? They didn't want to do it. The men rowed even harder to try to get to land because we don't want to throw Jonah overboard. But, see that? In verse 13, but they couldn't do it. For the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Notice this next verse. Therefore they cried out to the Lord. Who's God? Whose God do they cry out to? Jonah's God. This is an amazing story. They cry out to the Lord. We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased its racing. See the merge that's raging. Do you see the mercy of God here? The mercy of God extended to these men because they did what God wanted them to do. Now notice the result to these mariners. Then the men feared the Lord, that's Jonah's God, exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now, Jonah thought he was finished with God, but God wasn't finished with him. This defecting disciple, he thought he could flee from the presence of God. He lost. And so will we. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed into hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and go to the uttermost parts of the sea, you are there. Jonah found that out, didn't he? Remember Genesis 3? After Adam and Eve had sinned, there's a little phrase there. They hid themselves from the presence of God. And God goes looking, Adam, where are you? And he found them. He will find you. What Jonah found out was he was a God, not only to the Hebrew people, but to others. And you know, even more important, he was a God of the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. Isn't it interesting that when he was thrown in the water, we'll look at his deliverance next week. Where he was being thrown? Into the place that God controlled. It's amazing. See, running away from God does not finish us with God. Can I say that again? Running away from God does not finish us with God. We can't escape from His presence, no matter how hard we try. Oh, I'm kicking your money around. I'm sorry about that. You know what? He pursues you. He's pursuing you right now. And why He's pursuing us is to bring us back to Himself, to bring us to His mercy, and to bring us to His mission. So let me ask you this. What are you struggling with today? I don't care how old we are. All of us are struggling with something God's asking us to do right now. What prompts us to say, anything but that, God? Don't ask me to do that. Again, the issue is Tarsus or Nineveh? Rebellion or obedience? Response. Right now, this morning, you might be on that Joppa road and you've got a choice to make. Continuing to go away from God and His mercy and His mission, or turning around and heading back to God. You have a choice to be able to make Nineveh the revealed word of God, and wherever God is speaking to you in His word, to obey it. and to put your heart first with God. Let's pray. Father, I don't know this people all that well yet. I don't know if there's someone here that's never given their life to you, and they're on the Joppa Wharf right now, and they've been trying to run from God. They've tried everything but giving their life to Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross, to forgive them of their sin. And they need to ask you to come into their life. I pray if they're at that place that you'll give them the courage to be able to make a decision to receive you. And for those of us who have made that decision and we've accepted you as our Savior and Lord, every day, in the moment, not in the past, not in the future, right now, today, we have choices to make on that Joppa Wharf to respond to God or try to run from Him. To give Him our hearts or not quite give Him all of our heart. So, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us wherever the need might be. And that, Father, you would speak to our hearts to bring transformation. This isn't just information about Jonah. This book is about being changed. It's about being transformed. So, Lord, I pray that you would take your word over the next few weeks and show us how you show mercy to us every day. So, Lord, I would pray that whatever it is that we need to do, that your Holy Spirit will convict us of that, show us what we need to do. And, Father, may we turn left to Nineveh rather than right to Tarsus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.